loved it. How many movie buffs do we have here? I'd like to watch movies, know a couple movies. So let me start today by asking, in the movie Princess Bride. All right, we're ready. So let me ask you, can you think of a character in that movie who holds a grudge throughout the entire movie against somebody who had killed his father? It's like, I'll make this easy, maybe. Can you think of what's the guy's name? Nigga Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. That was a bad accent there. But anyways, yeah, absolutely. Holds a grudge throughout the entire movie, and he's searching and seeking, right, to find this one who had killed his father. All right, so let me pick something a little bit more relevant and something that our younger audience may be familiar with. So I'll pick the Harry Potter series. And in that, can you think of a character who holds a grudge against the main character throughout the entire series? Can you think of that one who's the main one, the main evil character in the series? Voldemort, right? So is the evil character, and he holds a grudge against who? Against Harry Potter throughout that entire series. And yeah, absolutely. How many of you have known someone in your life whom you have maybe held a grudge against because they hurt you? Now, you don't have to raise your hand or say it out loud. It's not air our dirty laundry morning. That's next week. Just kidding. Nobody's going to come back. Like, wow, it's kind of sparse today. So, Jesus, please help me. Holding a grudge against somebody that offends you seems to be, in my experience, easier than trying to resolve differences or resolve conflicts with someone that offends you, someone who hurts you. As I mentioned last week, that, and I for me, I think that's often because when we get hurt, it's not just that something happened. Now we have emotions tied into it. And so the whole overcoming emotions and working through that and what actually happened and processing that is a very challenging work. And I feel like forgiveness and reconciliation is probably a couple of the hardest, and they kind of go together, right? But part of the hardest things that we do as people. I think it's one of the hardest things that we do. For most of my life, I'll confess to you that I've been one of the persons that try to avoid conflict. I don't know if I have anybody else that likes to do that or not. Some folks feel really comfortable in conflict and they don't really care. And then there's others who like want to curl up in a ball and pretend it never happened. And I tend to be often more the latter. As I was younger and kind of growing up, and I would not talk about it if I didn't really have to. I would even sometimes shut down emotionally, right? Or try to laugh it off, right? Anybody ever have run into those personality types? So we'll do that. You're like, this is not funny, but you just laugh, and because it's easier to laugh, try to diffuse, than it is to actually address the conflict. Sometimes just not engage in a conversation, ignore it, not talk to the person, walk the other way. You ever do that? You see them coming, you're like, oh, and you go that way. Why? Because you don't want to actually have an opportunity where you might actually have to address the conflict. I would say that for me, I can think I have also made allowances for people who have offended me, right? Because if I don't want to deal with it, it's easier if I can make allowance to say, well, they were probably right, you know, or whatever. And when I was young, I could tell you that I saw conflict in relationships as something that was pretty destructive. And so I chose, as I think a response to that, to kind of distance myself. Who wants to be around something that's destructive? Let me just back off of that and stay away from that, whatever I can. And you just kind of ignore it. And you think that it will go away. The reality is, it doesn't go away. It's still there, right? It just gets masked over. And the only way to get through that is to do the work of reconciliation. Anybody know how hard it is to do that work? If I have anybody agree with that? No hands, but I heard some rumblings and some amens, so I think you're with me. And, you know, like I said, I think we all kind of get that that's a hard work to do. And sometimes easier if we feel like it's going to be easier to just run away from it. I'll tell you this. Sometimes I have thought, you know what? I don't think that if I even try to reconcile, it's actually going to bear fruit. So why even put myself out there to try to do that if it's a waste of my time and my energy or my efforts? Why even bother, right? Or maybe, this has been me, I didn't want to confess I was wrong. Or I want people to think I'm tough, so I won't let them see me cry. Yeah, it's like I won't let them see me sweat. I won't let them see me cry. I don't want them to know they got the better of me, if you will. So I'm like, hey. Yeah, so why even bother to reflect reconciliation? Why even bother to do that? Jesus told his church, he said, I want you to be ambassadors of reconciliation. I want you to go out and I want you to represent and I want you to reflect to the world something that I am doing for you. And I love that. I want to ground that not in my opinion, but in Scripture. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 is where I want to take you today. And if you want to use your phone, your Bible app, or if you've got the book, feel free to open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 20 is where I want to go. I'm not going to have the words on the screen today, so you just follow along online. Just listen along here today if you want. It's up to you. But let me take here in, as the Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 18, after having talked about us being a new creation in Christ and what Jesus has done for us and this new life we have in Him, because all this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, meaning that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. It says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. In 2017 is when my family, we moved back to Indiana, or back. We had not lived in Indiana with our kids. That was back when. Anyway, so we moved back from Michigan, and I remember the day that my daughter and I got to go to her school to take a tour of the school, right? Ever parents ever done that with your kid? So, anyways, she didn't know I was talking about this, but hey, I'm going to talk about this today. It's all good. I'm not talking about her. I'm going to talk about what happened, the kind of the process, what happened that day. So you're all good. We arrived at the school, and so we checked in at the office, and they told us that we have two ambassadors that are going to take you around and give you a tour of the school today. And I thought that was kind of neat. I've never done that before. It's always been one of the staff persons at the school who are the principal, somebody, you know, take you around. But no, it was these two young girls there at the school, students who come trotting in, and they introduce themselves, and bloop, here we go. And they were really good because they walked us around the school. They were talking to teachers. They were talking to other students. They they just did a, they did a good job representing the school. And if we had questions, they did their best to answer them. And if they didn't know, then they tried to help tell us who we could talk to so we could have our questions answered. It was just really good. And what I appreciated so much about that was that the wisdom of taking somebody that's a part of that community and saying, this person represents who we are. And so when you think of this school, this is a student who represents our values. This is a student who kind of knows our story. This is a student who knows the other people that are there in the school community, and they interact with them, and they have a good reputation in the school. And we think that they represent us really well. And this is their job. And lo and behold, she ended up doing the same thing. And she did a fantastic job with that. Hope got to do that for the school. When I was thinking about this topic of reconciliation today, of course, my mind went back to that day because I was thinking about, you know, Christ said that you and I are ambassadors. And if I think about that, like, what does that mean? For the church, it's the same thing that it meant for the school, which is, you know, simply that, hey, we're a part of the community of Christ. We're a part of the church. We're a part of the kingdom of God. And that culture that is the kingdom of God culture, a culture of righteousness, right? That which is right, holiness, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like those things are qualities of the character of the church. And that's what God, of course, wants his church to represent. And he says, well, you're in my kingdom through your salvation. And now I choose you to go out and to represent those values in the world. I want you to go tell the story that you're a part of. You know, you're a part of that salvation story. If you know Jesus, you're a part of God's salvation story in the world. And if you don't yet, you can be. It just takes belief and faith. And he says, that story is your story. And you're a part of that. And you get to go tell that story. And the people that you can interact with are people that are supposed to have your back. And as you guys care for one another, and as you share God's love out in the world together, the world's going to see what it's like to be a part of the kingdom of God. And when they see that and experience that, the Holy Spirit is going to invite those folks to come into the kingdom through salvation, to know Jesus, to come in, right? Because he's the only way to the Father is through the Son. And so he's going to do that through the church as she loves the world and teaches that story and lives out those character values out in the world. So as you live like ambassadors, you're helping people to understand the very kingdom that you're a part of. And Jesus, and well, Apostle Paul, but he's, you know, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is saying, hey, you're an ambassador of the work of reconciliation. So it's kind of like, you guys, anybody know who Emeril Lagasse is? Chef, cook, you know, he used to always do, bam, yeah, he's, you know, kicking it up a notch, and I think of, that wasn't even my notes, that was random, and so I don't know if it works or not, but the reason I did that was because when you think about being an ambassador of the Ministry of Reconciliation, it's, bam, you're kicking it up a notch, that not only are you interacting with your friends and your family and your coworkers or your neighbors? And, you know, sometimes we might have had some neighbors, you know, that we maybe didn't always get along with the best, or coworkers that we didn't always get along with, or family. That probably never happens. I don't know, maybe, but anyways. But he says, hey, you know that those conflicts, and you know those differences are there. And he says, and I know they're there. So So when you live out the character of love, I want you to live it out in such a way that the way you teach them love is the same way that I have taught the world love, which has to take us back to Jesus at the cross, because it's through the cross that Jesus teaches us the act and the work of reconciliation, right? That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why would he do that? Anybody know why he would do that? So that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be reconciled to the Father. Because that was God's plan from the beginning. And he wants that plan to be shared, not just verbally, but tangibly in the way that we live. So he says, if I've gone to the cross, I've picked up my cross, I've carried it, I was crucified, and I died so that you could be reconciled to God. And the Bible says we know what that love is, not because we first loved God, but because God first loved us. So now we look at that work of reconciliation and we go, aha, I got it. That's what love looks like. And Jesus says, I want you to love the world as I have loved you, so that you teach the world like an ambassador. So therefore, in my relationships, if I'm going to honor the love of God through the cross in my life, so I'll love as he's loved me, then I've got to practice the work of reconciliation. Which is to do what? Which is to work at trying to resolve differences, conflicts with other people. And I would argue that that work requires forgiveness. He said, and if you weren't here with us last week, say, well, what do you mean by forgiveness? That we would pick up and we would remove it out to the side so that it's no longer a stumbling block for us as we step forward to that person who's offended us in love. Okay? That's the simple work of forgiveness. You say, well, but I can't forget it. Well, I know. You're never going to forget it. Because it's a part of your story in your life. It's going to be there. It's what you do with the memory. Our work is to pick it up, set it off to the side so it doesn't hinder. I still know that it happened in my life. Absolutely. Just don't hold it against them and step forward. To do what? Reconciliation. To work to resolve the conflict, the difference here that you have where you lack peace, is getting back to that peace. You say, well, I don't know if they're going to respond in kind or not. That's not the point. You ready? Jesus went to the cross. Did he do it only because he knew that you would respond by faith? No, he wasn't sure, right? You say, well, did he know the whole world? No. He said, it wasn't about what the world would all do. It's about what I want to do because I love you. You tracking me? He says, I go to the cross for you because I love you. Now it's up to you. If you love me, if you'll go love as I've loved you. Oh, good grief. Not because it's all good, but because, did you track? Because in my head, it's like, did that make sense? When we do that, we teach about God and we teach about his love that has been shown to us first. And ultimately, that is our job, to teach about his love. When I was in my mid-20s, oh, it seems like a few chapters ago. I know, I'm only in my mid-40s. Anyways, I think my son had just been born, and Leslie and I were in Southern Alabama, and there was a lady in our church who had sold her house, and she was going to be moving up to Northern Alabama. Yes, we were down in the deep south for a few years. And while we were there, she needed a place to land because she wasn't quite ready to move, and she'd already sold her place, and, you know, it's like, I'm going to be homeless. We're like, well, we got an extra bedroom. Won't you just come and just live at our house until you're ready to move on, you know? And I was like, she's like, oh, yeah, cool. So we had a greyhound. She had a couple cats. And so she moved into our house, and she kept the cats in a room, and she was really good, but I wasn't really, anyways. She was there for a few weeks, and then she said, can we sit down and talk? And you always love that invitation, right? And you know, when you usually get to that, you kind of have a sense that there might be a little something in that? So we did, and she just shared with us. She was very honest, and she shared, I feel like over the last couple weeks or so that I'm not really welcome here, and my cats aren't welcome here. And so we were listening, and I responded back and said, well, we have not intended to create that feeling, but listen to what you're saying. I can sort of see how you might perceive that, and I'm trying to reflect on what we said and done. You know how you do, right? Replay the story, and we're like, gosh, sorry, that was not the intent. And she ends up moving the timing, and it was good, and she moved up north of Alabama, and it was what it was. And I'm grateful for that hard conversation, remember, because I'm somebody at the time who was very much what? I don't want to have this conversation. No, let's just pretend that it's not a problem. But no, she, can we talk? Can I talk? And I was grateful for that, because what it did for me was it taught me that if you're going to say that you are a follower of Jesus and the love of God is in you, then you have got to love people as Jesus loves people. And that means that you've got to try to resolve the difference that's in between you so that you can move forward in peace. Because your job is to reflect the cross. And that's exactly what God accomplished through Christ on the cross. He resolved our sinful conflict with God, removed it away so that we could be reconciled to God and be at peace with God and know His peace in our life, be filled with His love by the Holy Spirit, and then go forth and love people in the power of the Spirit just like He'd already been loving us and still loves us. That conversation that I had as a mid-20s kind of guy helped me to grow up. I didn't like it. It was uncomfortable. But it helped me to grow up. I needed that conversation. I needed that experience in my life to help me grow up as a follower of Jesus. Does anybody know what season we're in this year right now? Season of Lent. Yeah, right. So we talk about, that's kind of what we're talking about, reflections, right? Because Lent's a time where we reflect back on what Jesus did for us at the cross that we couldn't do for ourselves. And so we give Him thanks and praise, and God, I really do need You in my life so deeply. And we spend extra time sort of thinking about that. Well, I thought that talking about reconciliation was such a great topic to bring to the table today in the season of Lent, because that's exactly what we're sort of thinking about, right? And the idea is that as He's loved us, we would go love other people, because that's the job of the church. So here we are, today. And then I found Matthew 28, chapters 19 through 21. And the last part of this hit me. And so I want to read this for you. Read it with me if you like. Follow along with me, but in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 21. We know this as the Great Commission. It's the end of it that I want to pull out. So if I can, let me read this morning, Matthew chapter 28. I'll start at verse 19, but I want you to focus on the last part. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now here it is. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I want you to go do what I've taught you. And ultimately, He's pointing to the cross. And surely I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And that's a great thing to throw up on a plaque in your house. But I want you for a moment to understand the power of that promise when it comes to doing reconciliation. Because it is so difficult to do that work, like I said, we often don't do it. I hope that I have preached today the reason why we need to do it anyways. But then I want to end that by saying we are never alone. When you often do the work of reconciliation, you feel like you're all alone because it's you. Because nobody can do it for you. You got to be the one that steps up, stands forward, and walks and says, "Can I talk to you for a second?" Like, you got to do that. And that often takes more courage and energy and boldness than we feel like we possess from head to toe. Right? So that's the moment that we really have to remember we are never alone. That when you have to step up to pick up your cross and carry it and go step forward to do the work of love that you don't feel like you have the power and strength in you to do, that you can do that. But not because of you, but because of Christ who lives in you. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit that is within you as a follower of Jesus. Because you have received salvation, you have the Spirit of God in you. You can do things that are beyond human strength. Don't go try to lift your car this morning. Pastor told me. No, I did not. You can do the things that will bring glory and honor to God that take more than what you can do in your own strength. And it is there I want to invite us to pray. Maybe you have somebody that you're struggling to reconcile with. In your family, coworker, a friend, a neighbor, somebody in the church. I know, right? Like sometimes that happens. Because we're real people, right? We are. But we're supposed to be real people that love each other in a real way. And that makes the difference between the church and the world. That's a whole nother sermon. God, I ask today is, so maybe here's a thought to think about how to pray, right? And so something like maybe, okay, God, today I know I'm going to run into this person and I really don't like seeing them because when I see them or I think about them, I don't feel very good inside. Actually, I want to punch them or slap them or something worse, but Lord, help me remember the cross today. Help me remember that as Jesus picked up his cross and he carried it and he died and he was risen from the dead so that I could have that same opportunity to live in the power of Jesus every day. Help me to do that today. Help me to remember it's not about me. Can we say it's not about me? It's not about me. Well, this is uncomfortable. I know. It's not about you. Well, they won't. It's not about you. The work of reconciliation is about who? It's about Jesus. It's about loving people like Jesus has loved you. I don't want to do it. I hear you. Not about you. Okay. So, Lord, it's not about me. It's about you. Would you give me the wisdom to say the right thing today? Would you give me the strength to not turn away, but to step forward? Even as difficult as it is and as uncomfortable as it is, Lord, help me to grow comfortable in the uncomfortable. My life is not ending because I'm uncomfortable. It's just something that's hard to do. Lord, today, if I'm fearful, help me to remember that you do not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So, Lord, may it not be about me, but may that be about you. Lord, if I need to say I'm sorry, would you help me to overcome my pride? So that my pride doesn't keep me from pursuing holiness. Lord, they have hurt me And I'm asking that you would give me the courage to say, can I talk to you for a second? I wanted to share with you that when this happened, I felt, not you did this. Don't do that. You start a war. Don't. When this happened, I felt this way. Felt, right? I felt this way. Help me, Holy Spirit, have the courage to have that conversation. I know how it's going to go, but just help me, Lord, to do it anyways. So that, listen, so that bitterness doesn't grow up as a root that shackles you at your legs where you don't want it and you feel like you can't and you don't. If you let bitterness grow up, you won't love. You can't love in bitterness. You give the devil a foothold in your life and you become shackled to bitterness. The only one that can break that is the Holy Spirit, because he's a chain breaker in the name of Jesus. So don't even start there. But say, Lord, help me. If that's where you are, but Lord, help me. That's who you are and it's where I am. So you be who you are where I'm at and set me free so I can go and do what you need me to do in the name of Jesus. And all of that is why? Because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Father, has given us the privilege and the calling to be ambassadors of the work, the ministry, the reconciliation. Because it's as though through you, through me, God is teaching people about the love of Jesus Christ and the power of faith to do what you couldn't do on your own. And that's what it's all about. Life's not about chasing our dreams and our visions for our lives and our dream boards and, you know, that kind of stuff about where we want to end up and I'm going to make it all happen. It's like, that's great. Do that. That's fun. Have fun with that. But at the end of the day, all that matters is, Lord, help me to carry my cross. Help me to love like Jesus. Help me to lean on the Holy Spirit wherever I'm at in any moment so that people are pointed to you, because it's not about me. It's about you. And wherever that takes me in life, I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that because I'm not living for this world. I'm just a pilgrim on this world. I'm living for what is to come. Because that's far better than anything I'll ever get in this world. And the joy and the healing and the freedom and the amazing glory that I'll experience in heaven is far better than any healing I'll experience in this world. It's wonderful to be healed of sickness, isn't it? Absolutely. But guess what? Everybody dies one day. So that's morbid. Well, but it's the truth. Because you weren't made for this world, right? In the brokenness of the world. God has so much more in store for you and for your relationships. We just have to get out of our own way and say, Holy Spirit, you lead my way. You're going to have to do this anyhow. Because I can't. And if I just try to do it myself, I'll probably mess it up anyway. So you just take the wheel. Kind of thing, right? I don't like that euphemism, but we're going to use it because it works. All right. Our job, give me that last slide. As the body of Christ, our responsibility is to reflect Christ in us and what has been done for us by him. That's why this is called reflection. That's Lent, is thinking about what's been done for us and what that teaches us about how we ought to live our lives. And that's the idea. So that's my prayer for us today as our worship team comes up this morning to get ready to lead us in our last song. I want to pray for us today. So would you please stand with me this morning and join me in a word of prayer. Holy Father, in this moment of worship, we ask, I ask with my brothers and sisters today as we worship that help us, that you would help us keep our eyes on the cross and what it teaches us about what you've done for us through your Son. Help us remain humble. Help us to carry our cross, just pick it up to begin with and carry it as hard as sometimes that is, because that's what you ask of us, so that we can go forth and extend the grace to others that you've extended to us, whoever that person is we have a conflict with. Thank you for loving us by going to the cross. I ask that you would help us to never forget that you chose us first, that you died for us, perfection for imperfection. You've reconciled us to the Father. And truly, without you, we are nothing. We have nothing. But with you, we have all we need. And for that, I give you the ultimate praise and honor and thanks with my brothers and sisters this morning. Thank you for the miracle you've done in our lives and the peace we have. And so we give you the glory and the honor because of that. May your blessing continue to be known through New Hope and throughout the world as your church lives as the church. Amen.